Hey, this is Robert Falk with Enid Monthly Live, and I'm here with Coach Rashawn Woods for Enid Monthly In Depth this week. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing well.
Well, good. Well, hey, like we've talked about before, that this is just kind of an interview to get to know people in the Enid community, how they grew up and how they got here. So, you ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
All right, great. Well, Coach, you're the head football coach here at Enid High, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, but you started off in Oklahoma City before. So where'd you, you grew up in Millwood? Did you grow up there to be, is that where you were born?
Yeah, I was born in Oklahoma City. Went to Millwood High School my entire life. Mm-hmm. So, and that's kindergarten all the way through graduation. Yeah.
Now, is that, at Millwood, is it the school, kindergarten and everything on the same campus?
Yeah.
Okay. How about how many kids did you graduate with?
36, 38 kids.
So even though it was an Oklahoma City public school, it was one of the smaller.
Yeah, it was 2A. When I first started, it was 3A, and they moved to 2A by the time I got to high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How many kids, or brothers and sisters, do you have?
I have two sisters and three brothers.
Okay. Are you the oldest?
I'm middle.
The middle?
Third.
Okay. So the older than you is who?
Wanda. She's my older sister. Then Gary Woods, my older brother.
Okay. And then you've got two younger brothers,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, one, and then Donovan.
Okay, so you were kind of right there in the middle.
Yeah.
So was Gary a big athlete growing up?
Yeah, he played at the University of Langston. He played defensive back. He played on the line at Millwood, believe it or not, and was a good player.
Mm-hmm. Was is that why you got into sports? Why you were interested, or was your parents really into sports too?
My dad, he played basketball. That was it. My mom was a cheerleader, I believe. And
where did they grow up?
My dad grew up in Kaysen, Texas, mm-hmm. Near Mount Pleasant, and my mom grew up in Oklahoma City.
Okay. What'd your dad do for a living?
He worked for Southwest Bell until he retired.
Uh-huh. And how about your mom?
She's been a realtor for quite some time now, and she just graduated from college. She wanted to make sure she did that. She stopped because she had us, mm-hmm. and went back and got her degree last year.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys are you and your family are obviously big names in the Millwood community. Was that did y'all just really enjoy living in that community? And because of the size, or was there anything in particular that kept you guys there?
You probably have to ask my dad that. But he got a house and he bought a house not too far from there in 1984, and it was right down the street, mm-hmm. and so that's where we went. And we all went there. And so it was just kind of one of those deals where we didn't have much of a choice. And it ended up working out great for us.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me about, what did you play just football growing up, or did you play everything?
I played everything. So I played baseball, basketball, and football. And ran track later on. Started running track my junior year. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to play everything that they had. And those were the sports that Millwood had at the time. And I started early. I probably started playing football when I was 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. Now, I told you I grew up in Oklahoma City. I'm a couple years older than you. Now, at least where I grew up, they didn't take sports nearly as seriously as they do now.
Right.
Was it the same way at Millwood?
Sports were always pretty serious.
Little League.
Yeah. Little League, it was pretty serious. It was a lot of fun for us. Mm-hmm. And so, our mom and dad got us into it so that we'd have something to do. I just took to it right away. It was just a lot of fun.
Just fun.
It gave us something to do.
Well, good. Okay. Did you, with all those brothers and sisters in your house, you always had somebody to play with?
That's right. So that was the time before the Nintendo and stuff like that. And it was just getting started.
Yeah.
And we'd all go out in the yard and play. We had some neighbors that would come over, and we'd have two-on-two football games, and we'd play basketball games. And our dad would pole up, put a goal on it, and we would shoot around in the driveway, and we had a little room to run around, and that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. Now, definitely not like today's kids, where you got to fight them for Fortnite.
Yeah, those things weren't out there, and so we had to make it happen out on the field some kind of way, and so we did a lot of different things, and a lot of times in the summertime, we'd get up, and mom said, "Hey, go outside and play, mm-hmm. and don't come back in. Keep the door closed." And so we'd go out and have a good time. We'd try to fish. Once we got old enough, we'd go down to the local ponds. And some of the neighbors would let us fish their ponds. And, we'd go have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Now, between Gary's the oldest brother,
uh-huh.
and the youngest brother is Donovan? Okay. And how much difference between the four of you guys were there?
Oh, man. So Gary's been 10 years older than me.
Oh, so he's quite a bit older.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Donovan is, I want to say, maybe 4 years younger than me.
Okay. So you, Donovan, and DeJuan were real close in ages.
Yeah. So DeJuan and Donovan are your part. Mm-hmm. And then I'm 3 or 4 years apart from DeJuan.
Okay.
And so on.
Well, good. Okay. Well, so did you always know football was gonna end up being your career, or did you kind of love something else a little more?
Yeah, you know, I liked basketball, actually. It was a lot of fun. Football was fun, too. I wasn't necessarily a guy who was looking forward to hitting people. And so, you know, but it was kind of part of it. I was good at avoiding contact, so they gave me the ball and I'd run away from people.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, I didn't get into sports with the thought of making it big or being this great football player. You know, it was just fun to do. I enjoyed it. And, you know, I wanted to be at practice. I wanted to play the games. And that part of it was a lot of fun to me.
Well, good. Well, in a smaller school like Millwood, it's almost expected that most of the boys play some sports.
That's right. We play them all. And so, you know, that's one thing, like at Enid. You know, we need to have that happen. Although we're 6A1, we're the smallest 6A1. And so we need everybody to play those sports to be competitive. And it was the same thing at Millwood, except everybody that you played, that they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just going from one, as soon as football was over, the very next day, you know, I was on the basketball court getting ready for a game.
Did you have any kind of favorite memory or have a game or something that happened during high school that you...
Yeah, so we had this deal called the Soul Bowl that we played every year against Douglas.
Douglas, yeah.
And it was such a big rivalry game. And Douglas was pretty good in their day. And
they're a couple of classes up, right?
Right, they were 5A.
Yeah.
And but there was a crosstown rival. And when I say everybody was there, the bands were at that time were great. They added to the experience. The game was phenomenal. It was completely packed all the way around. And so that was a lot of times that it was the unofficial alumni day, probably, or homecoming, because everybody that played at Douglas and Millwood and their families and stuff made sure they were at the Soul Bowl every year. And it's still the same way.
Mm-hmm. Now, am I remembering this right? Did Gary coach for Millwood?
Yeah, he coached for Millwood.
Was that why you were in high school?
No. So he was long gone. He was living in Kansas City at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped me. So he trained me, taught me how to play different positions, and really helped me as far as my development early on in my career.
When did you, in high school, when did you kind of start getting recruiting letters that you figured you'd end up going D1, high level D1?
Yeah, so after my junior year, my older brother made a highlight video of me. And it was probably a cassette tape of about 30 plays.
And this was a lot harder to make highlight videos back then, right?
And he sent it, he mailed it to OU, Oklahoma State, and I want to say maybe Kansas State or somebody else.
Uh-huh.
It was 3 schools. And at the time, Bob Simmons was the one that got it. And they took a look at it, and that spring going into my senior year, they came down to watch me and watch Elvin Craig.
Mm-hmm.
And after they saw us go through spring, they offered me a scholarship.
Okay. So this was the beginning of your junior year?
No, it's the beginning of my senior
year. Oh, beginning of your senior year, okay.
I played receiver my junior year, and I did really well. And from that, we made a highlight film.
Mm-hmm.
And I started at Millwood my sophomore year. I played corner, and I was a defensive guy because mm-hmm. my brother was a defensive guy. And so... my junior year, though, the receivers graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they did that, well, Coach Willis asked me, hey, you want to play receiver? And I was like, well, yeah, I'll play it. You know, they don't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of played it by default and ended up being pretty good at it.
Who was your quarterback then?
Jimmy Moore was my, let's see, let's make sure I get this right. I believe Jimmy Moore was my quarterback my junior year. Sonicky Wilson was my quarterback my senior year.
I see. Was there anybody else you played with that we may have heard of?
Yeah, Elvin Craig. He played at Oklahoma State with me,
mm-hmm.
and he was a really, really good player. And he played, he was a really good player.
Well, he was defense, right?
Yeah, he played safety.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a stud all the way through and was even more highly recruited than I was.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they saw me because people were recruiting him.
Well, that's cool. Well, so when you started playing wide receiver, did you really like it, or was it just kind of like?
Oh yeah. I definitely liked it. I was able to track the ball very well. I had great ball skills, tremendous ball skills. I wasn't very extremely fast, but you know, it was a lot of fun to play it, to catch touchdowns, and have that opportunity. And
how tall are you?
I'm 6'2".
6'2", okay. So you're a reasonable size for a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. I ended up being right where I needed to be, but that's stuff you don't realize. Well, at least I didn't when I was playing. But being 6'2", probably 165 pounds at the time, mm-hmm. you know, range, you could go get the ball with something that, you know, the Power 5 conferences won't.
Yeah. Well, one thing, it's really good that you got to play a lot of sports, and one thing that you hear a lot of coaches talk about now is, especially college coaches, that they like to see guys play a lot of sports in high school. Sometimes kids get pushed into just one sport or something like that growing up. And do you find that to be a challenge these days?
Yeah, it is. The most important thing that you can do now that I'm a coach is just make sure that you're advocating for kids to play multiple sports. Mm-hmm. I think coaches know that there's benefits to having a kid the entire year, but you're really hampering that kid as far as his development. And so you've got to actually care about that. You can't just care about your job and have the success that you have, although, you know, it's obviously important for your family. But for that individual kid, you know, you have to keep his best interest in mind and just tell him the truth of playing on multiple sports and how it really does help make him an overall, it's overall better for him as well as better for the school.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me a little bit about your recruitment. You said that Bob Simmons was, he was the coach at OSU at the time.
Yeah.
And now you said that you got your offer. Was that your first D1 offer?
It was my first D1 offer. I didn't get many, and so that was my first one. And after a couple of weeks, I accepted it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that's where I wanted to go. And so it was all happening so fast. I already knew that Oklahoma State would be my first choice if I was recruited by 40 schools.
Really?
And so I grew up watching them, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. And really, my brother, older brother who was training me, told me, hey, man, you know, it's probably not a good idea. You should want to go somewhere where they're throwing the football. And so at the time, Oklahoma State didn't throw the ball. Mm-hmm. And so they would run the football, and they played good defense, and that was kind of it. And, you know, receivers weren't very – they were good, but they went there to block. Mm-hmm. And I heard them, and I understood that. And, you know, they gave it some thought because the spread was just getting started, and there were other schools around that were doing that. And OU being one of them with Bob Stoops being hired. Mm-hmm. And so – but you hadn't seen it yet. And so around that time when Bob Stoops got hired that same summer, he started recruiting me and started telling, you know, me and my family that, hey, you know, they're going to throw the ball around a little bit and so on and so forth, and which is what you want to hear. But they wanted me to play corner. Mm-hmm. And so I was, even though they were throwing the football, I was going to be on the defensive side mm-hmm. of the ball. And I didn't like that. And so I wanted to catch the football and make plays that way. And so, you know, that's what made the decision for Oklahoma State even easier.
Well, that was a rumor that had been around for a while that you might have preferred OU, but so that's really the reason why that you went OSU.
Yeah, so the truth of the matter is my dad really liked OU, so my dad used to take us to the OU games and when we were kids. And so we would watch those guys play. We never went to an Oklahoma State game. The only time I saw Oklahoma State play was on TV. Mm-hmm. And so my first game was after I'd already accepted the intent to go there, you know, or accepted the offer. And so hadn't been on campus, nothing like that.
But you hadn't even done an official visit?
No, I haven't. I did one after I had committed. But yeah, I didn't know a whole lot about him other than the fact that some of my favorite players were playing for him.
Yeah. Well, and at the time, both OU and OSU were down a little bit. So.
Well, it depends. Yeah, so at the time, yeah, so when we were graduating, yeah, so my senior year, yeah. Mm-hmm. But when I grew up watching them, you know, it was Gundy, Dyke, Hart Lee, Barry mm-hmm. Sanders, Thurman Thomas. You know, those are the guys that I'm 8, 9, 10 years old. When you start to really start dreaming about what you can do, you know, hey, they were pretty good. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter that they had some struggles because I think Bob Simmons had a couple of good years in there. And OU, they were. Sellenberg was bad. Blake wasn't very good, mm-hmm. and then here comes Bob Stoops, and so yeah, it was it was a lull for football teams for somewhat.
So OSU got a little lucky then. So,
well, no, I mean, like I said, it didn't matter.
It would end up there anyways. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, I and we talked a little bit before that I'm a couple years older than you. And I went to Northwest Classen right down the road. And you said that you played baseball. And I was telling you that I remember the baseball field there at Millwood was had the right field fence where everybody tried to bat left handed. Now, it's hard for me to hit the ball over the fence even if it was in the left field as a right. So I wasn't going left handed. But. Right. But so did you enjoy your time playing baseball and basketball too?
Oh, yeah. So our basketball program at Millwood was phenomenal. Coach Burl Franklin, who retired a couple years ago, was as good of a basketball coach as anybody in the state. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's won a number of championships. I mean, it was to the point to where he was winning one every 3 years. I mean, it was that dominant.
Yeah.
And so playing basketball for him was just a lot of fun.
So how many championships did you win? Basketball, football?
Yeah, so my senior year, we won a basketball championship, and we won a track. We ran track my senior year. And then I would think we won a silver ball in basketball my junior year, I want to say. Or maybe we were just right there. I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, they don't count the silver balls at Millwood, only the gold.
I hear you. Well, so you came from winning programs, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We in Millwood, you know, now our football program, we won our last year, but like my juniors my sophomore year, we weren't very good. My freshman year, sophomore year, we were pretty good, but my freshman year, we weren't.
Not as bad as Northwest. We won one game in 4 years, and I was
there. Yeah.
And I think it was against the 2 or 3 A schools.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we, they have some of the challenges. They had some of the challenges then that Enid does now with being a smaller school and participation numbers and things of that nature. So. Exactly. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Now, you went to OSU, Simmons wasn't there all 4 years you were there, right? When did he leave?
So going into my sophomore year, my redshirt fall sophomore year, Les Miles took the job. Mm-hmm. And that's when it changed from an offensive standpoint. My freshman year actually had a decent season. Mm-hmm. So I want to say I caught 20 plus balls or something like that, doing maybe 30. And had a pretty good year and was poised for a breakout season in my sophomore year. But
because you redshirted.
Yeah.
And then you redshirt freshman year, you caught 20 or 30 balls?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then my redshirt sophomore year, Coach Miles comes in.
More of a pro style offense?
That's right. That's right. Play action, simple reads. Power run game, and it was play action down the field, one-on-one routes, and I was able to win, and it just fit me. It fit what I was good at, and I was able to get open and make plays over guys, and it just took off from there.
Yeah, and so the sophomore year, you had over 1,000 yards receiving, right?
Yeah.
Now, was that the year that y'all beat OU, or was that the...
I think it was the year we beat OU, yeah.
It was. Y'all were about 3-8 or something like that. And
they were
looking for a championship that
that's
year.
Right,
y'all,
that's right.
I still have the framed picture of that that game. So
yeah.
was that one of the highlights?
It was.
Really, catching that pass?
Yeah, it truly was. I mean, we, as a team, we were pretty young. We had some flashes there early on of being able to do some things, and as we continued through the season, we were getting better, but so were the other teams, and it was difficult. I mean, it was Big 12, extremely tough, just like it is now, and we got into the OU game and flat out put it together. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. The defense played lights out, and as we started to get momentum, it just started to overflow. OU weren't executing the way that they normally have, and we didn't have mistakes that had cost us previous games. And before you know it, once you get a sense that hey, we can win the game, it became a situation where guys were playing out of their minds, mm-hmm. and that just continued until we were right there to have a chance to win it, and we did.
Now, what do you think if you have an idea that Les Miles had a pretty good record against OU? during his career. And then most people would say that Coach Gundy's teams have been better, but haven't had nearly as much success. Is that because OU is just a better team now than they were back then? Even though they were pretty good then, they won a national championship. Or was there a different kind of focus on winning that particular game?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's the correct answer to that. I know one thing that I do know is Les Miles' first game as a head coach, we won it. Mm-hmm. And so with us, we knew that we could go in and win. And so that the perception of it or the mindset of it is different. You know, so that next year we went in there, we get after them. And, you know, it's not anything out of the ordinary. We knew that we were able to do it, and we were a better team that next year as well. You know,
you got three touchdowns.
That's right. That's right. And so we knew going in that, hey, you know, OU at the time, and I've talked to Stoops about it. You know, they felt like they had guys were good enough to cover me one on one my junior year, and they were wrong.
They were.
You know, and so my senior year, they kept two guys over me the entire game, which really, really shut me out. And but that's what they.
And they won the game.
That's right. And if they would have done that all 3 years, we might probably wouldn't be sitting here talking. Mm-hmm. But you know, like I said, when you're big time, and it's one thing as coaches, and when you're really, really good, sometimes you think that, hey, you can just do things right and it'll be enough. And you know, sometimes that's more success can, you know, be hamper you a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a classic situation of just not having the amount of respect that you would say if they were playing Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now with Gundy, you know, they've always been prepared when they come in and play the game. And the teams, both teams have been better. You don't know why they haven't won that game more, but one thing that you can say, that we all can say, is that the Oklahoma State program is where it is right now because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it is in a great place. And so, you know, we're doing the radio there and watching every game. If you focus on just that one game, you know, you really take away from the success and of the program that, mm-hmm. that they built there.
Well, and that's what I tell people is that, you know, I'd rather go 11-1 and lose to OU than go 0-11 and beat OU every
right.
year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes no sense to me that people really focus on that game so hardcore. But,
right.
I mean, like I said, the program's in a great space. For being, you know, you're playing there, you got to have a certain love for it that people that don't, like me, have. But, you know, as a fan, for sure. Well, tell me a little bit about, you said your brother's 3 or 4 years younger. Were you still there when they were recruiting
him?
Yeah. DeJuan?
So both my brothers were tremendous high school athletes. So DeJuan and Donovan had won 3 state titles at Millwood in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And they were phenomenal. They were bigger than I was. They were more confident. And Donovan was just a phenomenal, he played quarterback for them, and he was just bigger, stronger, faster than everybody on the field. He was probably the best individual athlete out of all of us. And we were hard on him when he was a kid. That's probably why.
So you're saying Donovan was probably the best athlete?
He was. It ain't no question. Because mm-hmm. he could run, he could move, he could do all the things that we could do. Now, he didn't have the ball skills that I had or that DeJuan had. He didn't have the ball skills to catch and stuff like that. But from physical movement and running and change of direction and stuff, he had it all. Mm-hmm. And he was strong. And so he was just a different build guy. DeJuan had all the ball skills that I had, but he wasn't as fast. He was a little bit bigger, and he was more finessey. You know, he just wasn't as fast, and he wasn't as tall. But he had the confidence. He was more confident and made more plays. He was a guy that, in a basketball game in high school, he'll go down the lane and just dunk on you. You know, and he was explosive like that, but you know, my younger brother wouldn't do it. I couldn't physically do it. Not to mention, I didn't have the thought to say, okay, I'm taking dribble and I'm dunking on everybody.
I'm just gonna get over this guy.
Right. He was DeJuan was a 20-point-a-game, 18-point-a-game on the basketball court, and had the swag and confidence to be that, to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't always the most talented guy on the field. I didn't have that confidence until I got to college, until I was the guy. And then Donovan, he was just the even keel guy of us all. You know, he just almost you almost could look at him and he already knew that he was that guy.
Well, and Donovan played both sides of the ball, right?
Right.
Like that for OSU.
Yeah.
So that takes a lot of talent to be able to play quarterback,
right.
linebacker.
That's right.
I mean, that's a wide range of skill sets, right?
Right. And so, the change was difficult for him just because is different. You know, your workouts are different. But him playing quarterback helped him understand what he needed to do on defense, and he developed the physicality.
Now, was it pretty set that they were going to come to OSU, or was it
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know. So I knew they were being recruited, and I wasn't necessarily involved in it. I think I took them to their visit when they came up, but it was a situation where we didn't talk a ton about it. You know, I was in the middle of playing, and they were high school games, and so yeah. When I get done with my game, I would come to the game. So I would literally, go to a game on Friday if I had a chance, you know, in the playoffs when our season was over, and go watch them play. Mm-hmm. And so it was. I remember going to a game they played Saturday. They played Saturday. Maybe it was a playoff game, but we played OU, the 16-13 game. And after the game, I went to their game. Or maybe it was the next day. I don't know when it was, but it was around that time. And, you know, I had a chance to go see him play down toward the end of our season.
Mm-hmm. Tell me if there – now, I've interviewed Les a couple times, just oddly enough, weird. I'm not a journalist by trade. Yeah. So this is more something I do for fun. But he was kind of an odd guy. And so was he an odd guy, like, in practice and stuff too? Or was that just
no.
– just kind of a – You have any good Les Miles stories? Let me just ask you that.
Yeah, so he was who he was. I mean, he was normal to us. I mean, people might have always joked about how he sounded, you know, but you know, he was pretty even keeled guy. He was passionate about what he did.
Very passionate, you can tell that.
Yeah, and that was just kind of it, you know, his upbringing and stuff. And he was kind of funny. He was funny in a weird way. He had a different kind of humor about him. But he knew what was going on. You know, he kept things simple, and he worked his butt off. He made sure the coaches were ready to go. And man, I mean, we ran. Golly, he would practice as hard. I mean, that's just the bottom line of it. He wanted to win, and he did the things necessary to help us get there. And he was a really good coach.
Yeah. Did you play in the Houston Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where I interviewed him at. I won a ticket for on this deal to be an interviewer for the day.
Okay,
so we got to go down. That was a really cool stadium, getting to go down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, it was awesome.
And because it was brand new, just open. Mm-hmm. So, well, tell me about so was Miles your coach the whole time?
Yes.
Okay. So when DeJuan and Donovan were there, that's whenever the switch over from Miles to Gunner.
Right.
And I always said that Simmons played a really big role in where we're at, upgraded recruiting, upgrade, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Coach Miles, he definitely increased it even more than that. So
right.
I don't think that we'd be here today without either one of those coaches. So
right.
We got to appreciate those guys. So after you graduated, you went and played in the CFL, and you were on practice squad for a little bit, right?
No, I played in NFL.
Well, no, that's right. I practice squad for NFL, right?
Well, actually, I was a first-round draft pick.
Uh-huh.
My career did not go the way that I had envisioned it, just because of injury.
Uh-huh.
And so when I got down there, being in San Francisco was awesome. Being amongst with the 49ers and stuff was just a phenomenal experience. And it was just it was cool going to the next level.
Yeah.
But with injury and stuff, that started to become a very depressing situation when you have to go through that. And so anytime a guy's hurt, or in my case, hamstrings, quad, you name it, seemed like everything started to kind of unravel once it started. And, you know, just really, really derailed the success that I've built up over the years.
Mm-hmm. And so that was San Francisco?
Yeah, so I was in San Francisco, then I went to San Diego. From there, went to NFL Europe, and then a year in Canada.
Okay. And one of the teams you played for, they made the Super Bowl that year. Is that right?
No,
okay.
I don't believe so. So San Francisco wasn't very good when I was there.
You were never Pittsburgh?
That's my younger brother.
Oh, okay. All right.
So Donovan got a Super Bowl ring.
Okay.
So he played for Pittsburgh and was on the practice squad there. DeJuan played for Jacksonville, and he got a Super Bowl there, but he was on the injury reserve because of an injury to his neck. Yeah.
So is Donovan Ware's ring it? Thanksgiving.
He does wear his ring.
Flash it off.
That's right. That's right. DeJuan, they did not give him his ring. I guess they did not think that he deserved it, even though he had gotten hurt there on the team. But that's a whole other deal that they're still trying to figure out, I guess. That's kind of their timelines.
Well, good. Well, so at some point you decided you wanted to coach.
Yeah.
Was John Marshall your first gig, or did you go somewhere else?
So my first gig was at Star Spencer. I was a offensive coordinator there, and I wasn't initially supposed to be, but they didn't have a guy. Mm-hmm. And
were you just there volunteering?
No, I was on staff there. Mm-hmm. I was on staff. I taught in the building, and I just started off as a receivers coach.
Yeah. Did you know that you wanted to get into coaching? Was that kind of your plan after your career ended?
Well, I coached a couple years with my older brother. He had a son, and so I helped out. And I kind of hung around. I mean, I didn't have a job initially for the first year, and I needed to figure out something. Mm-hmm. And so I started in real estate, and so I knew I had some money that I needed to do something with. And so I started to buy rental properties. And about that time, I realized that, I probably didn't get a job too. And so I went and got my certification. Football was what I knew. At the time, it was an easier transition to go and do that. And so I got a call from Darrell Hall, who was the head coach of Star Spencer at the time, and said, hey, come on over, come do this, see if you like it. We need a spot. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. And I had actually interviewed for a couple of other jobs, but they didn't have any position for me. And so I took that one because really it was the only one, and they had a really good team. Three games in, they promoted me to offensive coordinator, and our team, our offense, was scoring 40-something points a game. We were able to simplify it enough and do some things with the quarterback that gave us an edge. And so once we kind of got it together and I had time to kind of work with the guys over there, we had so much talent that nobody could come close to us. Mm-hmm. After probably about the fifth game.
And what class is Star Spencer in?
4A. They were 4A at the time. And so we rolled everybody, scored a lot of points, and they played great football. They were a really good team, and we won the school's. I was part of the school's first state championship.
Mm-hmm. Bet you that was exciting.
It was. It was. Because for me at the time, it meant a lot because of how hard things were for me at that particular time as it is associated with football. And so having that joy from football, when at the moment it had been like such a not necessarily a happy time to be around ball again, mm-hmm. To win it all and get that fire back is what really propelled me into coaching again.
Yeah, great. And so so y'all did pretty well there as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
What was your next position after that?
Yeah, so the Coach Hall left and we took the Booker T job, and I tried to apply. Well, I did apply for the Star Spencer job. Did get it. They didn't think I was ready. And so, and then they brought in a guy there, and he was, maybe it was in the classroom. He ended up taking my position. And so, Millwood was hired, what created a position for me. Avery Gilliland, who was the head principal at the high school, created a PE position for me, just for me so that I could come over there. And it was one of the greatest. I mean, I knew him. We were associates, but not best friends or anything like that. But he did that for me, and I took that job, and I went over, and I was an assistant high school coach, and I coached the middle. I was a head middle school football coach, mm-hmm. for 3 years. And during that time, our middle school programs they were already really good. And so when I came in, I kept that going, and we didn't lose a game in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then I coached receivers with the high school. When I was done with the middle school practice.
How long were you there at Millwood?
For three years. So 3 or 2.5 years. Then they ended up ending when Avery Gilliland left, and he took a principal's job at Putnam City. As soon as he did that, my job was taken away by the superintendent. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to find another job. And they wanted to change. They didn't necessarily just take it away, but I needed to find a job. They put me in a classroom. And it all happened so fast. I was like, you know what? This is going to be a tough transition. I may not have a job after this year because I knew cuts were coming. And they don't necessarily tell you that. You just kind of pay attention. Yeah. And so if you get a change mid-semester, you got to make a plan. You got to make a change. And so that's what I did. I applied to schools in town. And at the time, John Marshall hadn't won a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied for John Marshall, I applied for Chandler, and I applied for Southeast. I didn't get a call at Chandler. Southeast called me, the athletic director called me, but he didn't offer me the job. He just called me to see if it was really me. And one of the ninth grade principal that was at John Marshall saw my resume on the desk, so I didn't apply to John Marshall. But he saw my resume, and they were looking for good candidates for the John Marshall job, and they, quite frankly, didn't have any because the program at the time was the worst program in Oklahoma City.
And outside of Millwood, Star Spencer, that the bigger schools, they have a difficult time finding coaches anyway.
Right, especially those stick around. So like even Klassen had beaten that year before I got it. Klassen had beaten John Marshall, I think, by 30 or 40. And so I just
tells you something.
Yeah, right. And so it was just a bad situation. But he saw it. He saw my resume and he gave me a call. And I was like, well, I didn't have a whole lot of anything going in the south. In the Southeast job, they were slow to get back with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Oscar Sia Carlson was the head principal there. They called. They invited me to come look at the campus and everything. And that's where I met her. I met Terry Harris, who was just a guy who helps out up there, who does everything for the sports programs, tries to provide funds, so on and so forth, and just a liaison or what's the right correct word? He's just a guy who just cares about kids, cares about John Marshall. Met with him, and I liked what they were saying. I watched some film on them, and I felt like over time with talking with people that, hey, this could be something that's pretty good, because John Marshall was really good when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't understand, well, man, what happened? Like, how?
They were good at everything back then.
Yeah, right. And they were just so bad, and the facilities and stuff just weren't. I mean, they had a new school, but they didn't do anything facility-wise for the football program.
Did they move when they got the new school? They moved from 6A to down, right?
Right. They moved to 3A.
Okay. So that your first year was 3A?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was 3A the entire time. And so they had the facilities there, but they hadn't really been upkept. And the weight room, they didn't have an official weight room. It was a small deal. And so you could see easily, well, there's no program in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up being the biggest deal. So I took the job and established the program. And that's,
at the time, was there a lack of participation? Was that one of the big issues?
Well, that was, they had kids that can play, but it was just more about player development,
mm-hmm.
per kid development, person development. And so although they had a lot of talent, there weren't anything done in the summertime as far as getting kids stronger. From a schematic standpoint, there are things that we did a lot more to prepare those guys for on the field, because teams and coaches and stuff in the leagues were getting better. You playing Kingfisher, who were doing things right, playing and understanding football.
Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, you can have guys that can run around a little bit, but you have to have summer workouts. You have to spend some time to line up correctly and do all those things. And so John Marshall, we weren't strong enough. We were fast enough, and we had kids, but it just wasn't a program.
Well, that's good that you had enough players, because at Northwest, I remember one year we set up 25 kids for 6A football.
Right.
And that is just impossible to win.
So
that at least you came from a position where that you had kids that were interested in playing.
Yeah, and so, eligibility was another factor, that as soon as you get the eligibility, there weren't enough programs for the kids to be eligible to play. And so after a couple of weeks, you may have 35 guys, but eligibility hits, they're not taking care of business in the classroom, and next thing you got 15.
Yeah.
And all across Oklahoma City Public Schools, that has been currently an issue, and it has been constantly an issue. The support from that standpoint, play wasn't any different at John Marshall. That absolutely plagued us early on. I found out early on that, hey, I needed to do something about that.
So what did you put in place to make sure that these kids stayed healthy?
Yeah, so we were able to get a couple of tutors. We were able to pay for a couple of tutors through our booster club for math and English. Mm-hmm. And after school, I set up a program for those kids to get that extra work to keep their grades up. And so it was about an hour. Right after school, we spent an hour for kids who were falling behind. And that made all the difference in the world, because we could identify which kids there were and then sit them down with a teacher, sometimes the teacher who was failing them, and get their work turned.
That's good. Well, isn't it interesting that that the Booster Club had to fund that instead? I mean, we should be in the job of educating kids, right?
Right,
and so the school should be funding something like that.
Right, you would think. And eventually, Mrs. Carlson set up a program like that. And so after we set it up and had so much success with it, she then set it up to where it was part of it was something that every kid could access. And so like 2 years after we started that, then we all started doing it.
Yeah.
And so it all became, and I still tried to keep ours separate from what the school was doing. But once all the teachers were involved, you know, it was harder. It was good for our kids, but it was a little bit harder to keep up with all of them.
Yeah. Okay. It just takes some vision, right? So somebody with an interest. That's the one thing I say about Enid is we got tons of great people that'll help you do anything here at Enid, but you got to have a vision. You got to sell them on your vision. Once you sell them on the vision, you've got nothing but help at that point.
Right. And so this was a common deal that all the schools in Oklahoma City Public were dealing with. And so we were able to get it done, you know, in the span of a couple of years. That first year, we won 4 games. That second year, we won 8, and then it just took off from there.
And how many years were you there total?
6.
6, okay. And y'all won a championship 1 year, right?
Yeah, so my 5th year, we won a championship, and I told the people that hired me, they give me 5 years, we'll win a championship. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, on the 5th year, we did it, which, you know, a lot of times I say things, and, you know, they come true, great if they don't. But this was one where I hit it right on the head.
Yeah, what was your goal? I mean, you had a plan.
I felt like, I felt like it could be turned around in 5 years. I didn't necessarily say, hey, we're winning championships, mm-hmm. you know. But we were contenders for championships 3rd year on.
Yeah. So you said you were there 6 years. What was the decision to leave?
You know, finding out that this was something that I was really good at, mm-hmm. you know, something that, I didn't know how much I was going to enjoy being a head coach. And so once I became just obsessed with it almost, I knew this is what I want to do, you know, until I retire. And so helping kids, anytime that I have a chance to see kids get a scholarship and play and continue to play, you know, I got a lot of joy out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing other kids and stuff be successful. And it was medicine for me, you know. It allowed me to be relevant again. And, you know, after my career and stuff, because that was, again, that was therapy and stuff for me to be able to be around the game and use what I've learned still, although I can't necessarily use my legs and I'm not fast like I used to be and so on and so forth. It was good that I paid attention on the football field. I paid attention to good coaches, and I was able to take those things that I've learned and the experiences that I've had, and can that be an advantage when I field a football team.
Now, so after John Marshall, where'd you go?
Took the job at Enid.
Okay, so you came straight. And was it because, now Enid at the time, and it was definitely a rebuilding program, right?
Right.
And so did you enjoy the idea of that challenge, or was it that it was going to be a bigger, you know, 6A, or what was kind of your thought there?
Well, I wasn't afraid of the lack of success, because I'd already been through it. And so I knew coming in that people were not necessarily optimistic about the program turning around. It was the same thing at John Marshall. And so people frowned upon programs that haven't been successful in a long time, like an Enid. But for me, I just knew that I was just kind of going to be a bump in the road, but it wasn't something that was going to deter me from taking on the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, you know, I can think of a couple. There were other opportunities that I had, but for one reason or another, the job that I had done at John Marshall wasn't good enough to get me in the door at programs that were better, you know, at the time as far as a wins-loss record.
Yeah.
And so, to be honest with you, you know, Enid pulled the trigger on me, which I'm thankful for, but I was more than qualified for any one of those jobs sure. that I had applied to. And so, but Enid took a chance on me, and it's been really, really good so far. And
now you've been here 2 years?
3 years. Yeah, two years. And so the first year, it was a lot worse than what I initially thought. And the only reason why it ended up being that way is because of this, the mindset of the kids and the parents' vision of the program. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is the kids that were playing on the team were so beat down from a mental standpoint that those seniors, a lot of those kids didn't come out. So when I got the job and it got the change, well, you know, a lot of kids had maybe been crying about change for a while. Mm-hmm. But when change happened, you know, a lot of them kind of felt like it was too late. And so maybe 5 or 6 starters on that particular team didn't come out for one reason or another. And it's amazing how many reasons they come up with.
Football's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Football's hard. So right. You've got to have a certain level of dedication to want to be there.
That's right. That's right. And so from that standpoint, you know, I was initially excited about the kids that we had on the team because a lot of them had some ability. And for whatever reason, they just didn't do well. They weren't doing well. And I felt, well, you know, we got some kids with some ability, you know, let's just give it time and let's just build the program the way that I want it. And, you know, we'll benefit from it. For about 6 or 7 of them, they never gave it the opportunity.
Yeah.
And so that first year, we ended up playing, oh man, I mean, we played 3 seniors all year, 3 or 4, because the fourth one got hurt, and I think I only had 7 seniors on the team, okay? And so that and when you're playing against a team that's nothing but seniors,
yeah.
You know, teams in 6A1 are graduating 33 seniors, 34,
30,
40,
yeah.
Right? And even the smaller teams.
Yeah, 100 kids coming out.
Yeah, right. So you got 100 kids, we got 55 kids. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when I tell you, coming out there with sophomore kids and playing freshmen, it was not the ideal situation from that. You know, there were some kids, too, that wouldn't show up every day, didn't take it seriously. I mean, it was a lot like John Marshall, with the exception of the grade part. Like the kids, they didn't get their grades. I didn't have to worry about eligibility or talk to teacher every day.
Near as much, yeah.
But, you know, showing up to practice every day, understanding that, hey, if you're going to play offense, you got to know what to do, right? I mean, it was kids who thought they were supposed to play offense or play just because they could play. Mm-hmm. But they didn't understand how to play. They were just good athletes, mm-hmm. You know, that kind of deal. And it was just a bad situation. And so I was just like, the hell, you know, let's just go on and take these young kids and teach them, because we're going to have them for 3 years, you know. And so I just took my juniors and my sophomores and some freshmen and said, just didn't worry about whether the kid didn't, if he didn't show up, we just kept going. And I was like, hey, it's going to be bad, but it'll be good later on.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't deal with chasing kids around. You know, it's just not something that I do. I'm not a guy who kicks guys off the team. I'm never that kind of guy, unless you're a severe detriment, like you're into things that, you know, would be bad for other kids.
Yeah.
But if you don't show up, if it's not important to you, then, you know, I'm going to go with the younger kid or the kid who shows up every single day, especially if he's a freshman or a sophomore kid, because
he's got more upside.
That's right. Yeah. He's got the upside. And so there were routinely, you know, we'd have about 30 kids in summer pride my first year, and I would have about 5 of them that say, oh, 8 o'clock is too early to get up, right? And I, at the time, for me, that was, I've never, you know, playing football at a high level, like, you're not going to be late.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. You're not going to be late. You're going to be accountable to your teammates.
Was it the same way at Millwood too? Like your summer pride there? Was it
John Marshall? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, at Millwood when you were growing up, was it?
No, actually, we didn't have a program. We didn't have a summer pride program. There was a guy who volunteered that did the lifting and stuff, but it was.
But it wasn't the same. Yeah, I guess that's true. Didn't really have one either.
You're right, right. And so that is the biggest key. I mean, that's the biggest key for programs. And so at John Marshall, rewinding back to John Marshall, my first year I had 15 kids working out, or not even that. And I picked up three or four of them. By the time I left, every kid that was a starter on offense and defense was there 90% of the time in the summertime.
Yeah.
And it was expected. Not only that, they went to camps. I had 20 plus kids that coaches were taking kids to camps. If the parents could take them, they would take them. Parents would step up and take multiple kids to camps. So not just their kid. Parents stepped up and took multiple kids to camps, which was a phenomenal deal. Like, for instance, I have to throw a name out there. Kayvon Carey, Mr. Carey's dad, would take his son, Kayvon, and then four or five other guys to a camp at TCU, okay, or East Central, so they could go to camp. And that became the norm. Before I got there, they were like, why would I go to this camp?
Yeah.
What's an ACT? You know, and it's not that people aren't telling them these things, right? But that's just what they're doing. They're just saying it.
It's not a focus.
Right. They're not. Somebody may say, hey, you need to take ACT. You don't know. What people have to understand is that you just can't go tell a kid, hey, I told you that you should take ACT. Dude, walk him down there, sign him, make sure you watch him sign up, okay, and get his voucher so he can get a free ACT,
yeah.
Okay, and then call him the morning of the ACT and offer a ride. Like, actually be proactive in helping the kid. Just don't say, hey, you should have listened to me, right? Because as soon as you guys walk off, it's nothing. You actually have to put some legwork behind it.
Even in my family, my stepson's a junior, and so I've got to do that.
Even though
it's an expectation for him,
right.
they're just dinguses.
They're kids, and so it's the same thing at Enid. You know, it was more kids in the workout, and it was in place. We got a strength and conditioning coach in Tracy Baldwin, which he was my strength and conditioning coach at OSU, that was a prerequisite. And so we'd only had about 25 to 30 kids that was showing up, and that's where I built the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I do it every year. If you're not showing up, we're not even having a conversation, a plan, right? That's not even in the conversation.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, tell me about this. Now, something that from somebody from Oklahoma City that come into and went, and I was at Stillwater for 5 years and then came over here, that I really noticed, it seems like it's a challenge, or maybe it's not, is that that we've got so many high schools that are so close to Enid. That a lot of these good athletes end up, especially what would be depth for our teams, end up at these other high schools. Is that an actual challenge? Or
I thought it was going to be, but the reality of it is now for us is our program is really taking off from a preparation standpoint. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're really developing our kids to the point to where nobody's in town is doing things or have the resources that we have. And so as people start to learn this, if they're really good ball players, you know, there are opportunities at those schools. And you don't want to necessarily take that away from anybody or say that they're not, you know, on par. But our product is an exceptional one. Mm-hmm. And so it is more about developing the kids that we have here at Enid than it is about trying to get every kid in Enid to play. Because, I mean, those teams and those coaches want their teams to be good as well. Okay, but the key for us is player development. And that's where we are putting our focus.
Well, it's kind of like OSU now, that they don't necessarily get the four or five
stars. That's right, exactly.
But they're excellent developers, and so that's why they're top 20 program.
Right, so, you know, example of it, I talked to a kid last week. And he tells me, well, I'm going to this school. I'm thinking about my dad wants me to go to this school, and so on and so forth. And I'm like, well, I can tell you right now, because you're in our program, you know, your dad is telling you that, you know, hey, you're going to be this unbelievable. You're going to be a superstar over there, right? But his dad and him, they don't necessarily realize why that is. It's not because he's just this overly talented. But when he steps on campus, every school in Enid will want every kid from Enid.
Mm-hmm.
after he's been in our program. Every one of my starters here, if they have to move for whatever reason, will probably be a phenomenal football player at any team because of the way we're preparing our athletes. And so, although I don't want anybody to leave, I want them to stay here, but know that this is going to be the highest level of football, the highest level of competition. Mm-hmm. Not only competition against other teams, but competition within the school, so within the program. So you're not necessarily going to be a starter, but you will be head and shoulders better than anybody else that is in town.
Yeah.
And so you have to take that for what it's worth, okay? When you leave the Enix program, every year will be a step back as far as your development because you will not be training the way that we're training you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so in a weird twist of it, you know, our kids will be better because of the way that we train them. We get up in the morning, 7:15 workouts with a Power 5 strength coach. We got a Power 5 system of doing things. Okay, when I say Power 5, I'm talking about the same things that Oklahoma State is doing from a player development standpoint. We're doing it exactly the way it's supposed to be. For OU, right, whether you're Kansas State, TCU, you name it, okay, we're doing those things. And so when the guy shows up, and we've had a number of kids actually come to Enid from other schools, and they are looking different. They're looking different. They're bigger, stronger, faster. And in time, that is going to show up. Well, it is showing up. It is showing up. We're closing the gap significantly.
I've always said that too to people is that if you've got a good athlete or a good student too, I mean, an AP, that they offer more AP classes here than anywhere else. You can go to college a little easier.
Right.
And so that we do offer a lot more opportunities from that perspective.
Right. And so every school in town would have their niche or have their thing that they can try and promote to a kid and a family. That's what everybody's supposed to do. And so, but for me in our program, I'm not necessarily out trying to recruit other kids. It's all about the kids that are here because kids recruit kids, success recruits kids. And so the main focus for me is to develop the kids that I have. If I've got the talent, now I need to develop it to the best of my ability. If I don't, I need to make it the best that I can. And really care about the kids. And when we do that, I feel so good about, where the program is now. Just from last year, we have our leading receiver, we have our leading sacks leader, our leading tackler. These kids were all sophomores, leading interceptions leader. Mm-hmm. All sophomore kids. And they're all coming back. They're going to be juniors. We'll have 20 seniors this year. We graduated 26 seniors last year. We got 30 juniors next year. We'll have 40 sophomores. And so the only thing that I'm looking at is from the time that I've started here, where is the state of the program? Are our kids looking like the other kids? That first year, we did not look like, we were not a 6A program.
Yeah.
Okay, we were more like a 4A program. Last year, we're still, in my opinion, not on the 6A1 level, but we were competitive in every game and should have won more than we had. We had Norman down. We were able to beat Edmund Memorial easily, but we were competitive in every game and really, really made some strides.
Okay, well, good. Well, so you definitely see some improvement year.
No doubt about it.
And next year you expect to have some more.
That's right. So like next
year. So is this a 5-year plan too? You saying 6A1 championship and?
Well, I mean, in the perfect world, you'd like to say that hey,
you got those aspirations,
but now the mountain is a lot taller. In 6A1. And so that's one thing that is extremely important.
They get you for some insurance?
No, that's the lady who rent a house. She's
right.
Blowing her phone.
That's right.
That's part of it.
That's all right. I get you. So tell me about who you're looking forward to seeing next year and their improvement over the summer.
So we'll have a new quarterback next year. So Bennett Percival. It's the guy that we're going to start off with. And he was a freshman last year. He's 6'3", 6'4", 170 pounds, and he can throw the football.
Mm-hmm.
He's extremely smart. I'm excited about him. He was accurate last year in the JV games, and I was really happy with his continued development.
Let's talk about that for just a second. Now, we've got two different teams now where we only had one middle school team before, right?
Right.
And so is that, do you see that that being a
improvement? So having two middle school teams will, and they're 7th and 8th grade now. Before, you'd have 60 kids come in. And Enid was good. They'd have 60 plus kids graduate and start as 9th grade. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this was when they were a smaller school. When they consolidated the teams and only had one team, the numbers were decimated when they did that because there's not as many kids playing. Kids want to play. And so when you've got a young kid, you don't know who's going to be good and who's not. Mm-hmm. Okay, there'll be a lot of late-blooming kids that may not necessarily be good, and then they can decide not to play because they're not playing when they're in the 7th and 8th grade. And then you lose out on those kids, and they're walking the hall, and then you're trying to get them back because now they've grown.
Yeah.
Right? Well, if you have two teams, it allows for more kids to play and more kids to have a positive experience. So when they come to high school, that'll balloon your numbers, which is exactly what's happening.
Good. So that was the plan, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. Coach Tips, Billy Tips, our athletic director, has been spearheading that. And last year it was the teams were watered down a little bit because you only got, it was the first year, but they were competitive in most of the games, and a lot of those kids hopefully will come out and we'll see the numbers jump.
And that's kind of a little bit of a challenge that basketball doesn't have is you got to have a lot more players.
Right.
And so it's harder to field a team we ideally would like to have three teams, right? We'd like to have one for each of the middle schools, but finding 30 kids in each school to play is kind of a challenge.
Right, right.
And coaches and, I mean, everything else that goes along with that, too.
Yeah, so I think it'll be better next
year. So we're looking at a sophomore quarterback, somebody that's got some talent, can really grow with the team over the next couple of years.
And that's the plan, so... I think my first year here, the guy, Blake Priest, who's going to OU, as a junior, I kind of look back and I think, since he was my starter this year, I already put him in the fire this junior year, right? And it's kind of the same thing. Now it's everything's replaying itself again. I've got a couple kids that I really like, but one of them can really play receiver well, too.
Yeah.
And so I want to try to get that right. Now, it's not saying that – it's only speculating that you could have been better if you would have had more reps.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Betty says 15 starts at quarterback before you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, my plan is to get him going as early as possible because the pieces around him are so much better. And so my leading receiver, Tyke Andrews, was a sophomore. He caught 40 passes. 8 or 9 touchdowns, 800 yards. He's in the record books as far as most yards in the season, as a sophomore. Cameron Mathis is a guy who did senior play receiver. He's my second lead receiver. Big kid, 6'5", 6'4", caught 30-plus passes. Brock Slater will play in the slot for me. He's a second-string quarterback. He can play quarterback. He's extremely intelligent. Mm-hmm. But he's extremely fast, too. He can catch the ball well. And so those guys are really good. Avante Warren is a kid that plays tight end. And he has all the measurables. Last year was his first year to play. And he's on 6'6", 230 pounds, can catch like a receiver. And we've got to teach him how to play, though. And so those guys are really good. Seth Carlson is a kid that was a freshman last year. He was the only freshman to play on the varsity. He started a couple games, and he's as good as an athlete as we've got.
Good. So sounds like we got some positive things coming up, especially with our kids the next couple of years.
Let's just put it like this. My excitement is palpable. It's a whole different, it's a complete 180 degree turn from what I had my very first year.
Yeah. So less having to walk the halls and try to snag the good looking kids.
Right. So the kids that are showing up every day are the good looking kids. And so finally, there aren't any kids walking the hall that look better or look like they should be playing, if that makes any sense.
That's absolutely. So
when I look at a kid now, none of them look like our kids. Like there's a difference from a football player walking the hall and a normal kid.
Yeah.
And so beforehand, hell, I couldn't tell the difference. You see what I'm saying? So now, like, there was a couple of kids that got some ability and stuff, but football is so important that guys are showing up and doing everything right, because that discipline and that continuity that you have to have is built over the summertime and over the spring. I mean, we meet 3 days a week. Even now, we have a walkthrough on Wednesdays in the morning doing school. And this is we've been doing this since February. Mm-hmm. Right? If a kid shows up in May for spring football, what am I going to do with
him? Yeah.
I don't even know where to put him, because defensively, it's been getting better. Guys are lining up and knowing where they're supposed to go. Offense is doing it. And I got 60 kids that are part of this process. Okay. And although 60 is not 100 like the other schools, I'm only can start 11.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about, I got a first team offense and a first team defense.
If you got the best 60 kids that can play here,
yeah,
Nathan,
right,
that's,
right,
I mean,
right. And so like, and we're already putting this time in, and we haven't even got to summer pride yet.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just offense. There's no room. And like, if a kid is not completely committed to this, you know, he can't help us.
Yeah.
Like, and so a kid walking the hall, unless this kid is, I mean, it will probably have to be a move-in kid from somewhere else who has been in a good program that will be good enough. Because nobody that, if a kid is not playing and not working out, he is not physically fit. It'll be a detriment to his health.
Well, I tell you what, my third string offensive tackle son, Baylor Gehe, he'll be a little disappointed he wasn't part of that top five group.
Oh, well, Baylor Gehe has potential. He's a whole lot more athletic than we gave him credit for. Last year was his first year.
Yeah,
he never
has a junior.
And he should be a starter this year. He really should be. It is his job to lose. He's doing everything we asked him to do. And
well,
he's part of that young group.
Well, one thing I got to tell you, just as a father, that appreciate the appreciation I have for his attitude is so much different now. His confidence is so much different. He is excited about working out and going in, which he never was before. And he's the only kid I've ever known that worries more about lower body workouts than upper body workouts. So that's that must be a credit to your strength and conditioning.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so Sullivan Gehe. Kyron Chris, Melvin, let's see here, Aiden Crawford, Eric Ford, Brock Sullivan. Those guys are the offensive linemen. Those guys are getting starter reps right now. They're going through the walkthroughs. And we're replacing three of the five linemen that we had from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And our guys from this year are stronger and more athletic than the guys that were graduating. And so it's only a matter of experience, you know, and so that's what we're trying to do with those guys now from the walkthrough standpoint, is to get those guys understanding what their assignment is.
Yeah.
Because this will be the best offensive line that I've had since I've been here. But again, the biggest thing that I like about them is I don't have to force them to be here every day.
No,
those guys are guys that show up every day, right? And so they're so much further along than anything that I've had in the past. I had to fight and claw with some kids to show up every single day and work out in the heat. I mean, guys were complaining and crying about how hot it was, you know, how hard the workout is, and so on and so forth. I mean, I battled some habits and negativity. And I don't get that from this group. And again, that's another reason why I'm so excited about this group.
Yeah.
It's because they do everything I ask them to do, not with a smile, not with having fun doing it. Like, they're excited about doing it. And that means so much more than, you know, they're doing it, but they're pouting the entire time,
mm-hmm.
right? It's nothing. These
that's
guys
not
aren't
fun to coach.
No, it's not. It's not. Because I feel like I'm forcing them to do something that should be something they're excited to do.
Yeah.
And so because I don't have to do that, I know that if I need to push them a little harder, they're going to allow me to do that, right? And so like some kids, they won't allow me to get the most out of them because it's going to be pushback. Well, I can honestly say that with the offensive line, with everybody that I have, I don't have a kid on the team that is playing that is doing that.
Now, if somebody's watching this and wants to help out the program, how can they help out?
So we're going to have a couple of deals. You know, we'll have fundraisers. We'll have a golf tournament July 17th that anybody can be a part of. Okay, you'll pay for a team. There'll also be other awards associated. There'll be a gold, a silver, and a bronze sponsorship there. You can sponsor a hole. And then as far as Booster Club, we have a Booster Club. Okay, the Slaters are ahead of the Booster Club. Get in good touch with either me or our secretary here. You can be a part of the Booster Club. Things that Booster Club do for us is help with sandwiches for JV games, help with meals for varsity games, to help do our banquets, and so on and so forth. It just really, really just help all of the extra equipment we get, like knee braces and extra helmets and stuff, that comes out of the Booster Club. And so from an equipment standpoint, you know, the Booster Club helps us with that, you know, because a lot of times the school doesn't fund everything. And so when we go out of our way to try and protect the kids, whether it be things to help prevent concussions and so on and so forth, filming equipment, you know, that extra tab is picked up by the Booster Club. And so that's where they can help. If they don't necessarily want to help financially, a lot of times we'll do things like we may have some get-togethers. We've done FCA. We may do some parties and stuff where we may need chaperones to help with just kind of keeping the kids, you know, in a place where if we are doing fundraisers, we're going to need all the help that we can get, right? And so it's a lot of different avenues that that really help us out as a program and help us be better. But I think the biggest way to help is if you're a parent and your kid is playing on the team, you know, you have a direct your kid is a direct reflection of, you know, your responsibility and making sure the kid's there every single day. And if you're just doing that, if that's all you can do is just make sure that he's accountable, make sure he's there, you put him in a great position to be successful. And in turn, because the better your parents are, really the better the program is, because they're the one that's going to be responsible for making sure the kid gets there, making sure that he's paying attention to what's going on, make sure he's doing what he needs to do in the classroom, and so on and so forth, so that when I get him, you know, I can focus on, you know, making sure he's in the right place, coaching football stuff, and so on and so forth, to where when he gets out on the field, it can be a product that we're all proud of.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I'm really excited about what's going on here at Enid. I sounds like you are, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I just really appreciate you doing this.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks, everyone.